Welcome to this week's edition of High School Spodcasters. I'm Scott Titrington, High School Sports Editor here at the Journal World. For those of you who may have gotten word over the last 24 hours or so that we had brought in Free State High boys basketball player Kyle Schreiner and Lawrence High boys basketball player Daniel Green to talk about Thursday's big crosstown rivalry, that is true. We did bring them in. Unfortunately, because of a computer glitch, we lost everything that they said, which was basically about, 75% of what this podcast was supposed to be about. So if either of you gentlemen are listening or any of you who were told by them that they'd be on the air, let us be the first to apologize for that. Unfortunately, like I said, it was just a technical glitch, and we'll try to get that worked out so we don't have any such problems in the future. And we'll make sure we get both those guys back in here at some point during the season to talk a little bit about their respective teams. Unfortunately, that means we don't have their comments about the big game on Thursday night, the first crosstown rivalry, which will take place on Thursday at the Free State High Gymnasium. It'll be the typical girls-boys doubleheader. So since we don't have either of them to share their great thoughts, you're stuck with just your usual band of misfits in here tonight. I'm joined, first of all, by Free State High beat writer Eric Sorrentino. Eric, welcome.
Scott, thanks for having me. And like I said earlier, this is a great week to get us going on a little Free State Lawrence High basketball action with not a whole lot of other things going on, so should be good.
Yes, I know we're all looking forward to it. That includes Jeff Vidot and our Lawrence High beat writer. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott. And I want to congratulate all the listeners out there, because by being on the internet, you are the man of the year, according to Time Magazine, as they gave it to anyone who uses or creates content on the World Wide Web.
That's right. All of you who are out there utilizing technology, you're Time's man of the year if you haven't checked that out yet. Unfortunately, it doesn't mean we can get our technology straight up here all the time, because, like I said, we had that little miscalculation, unfortunately, where we kind of lost everything we were talking about earlier. So I'll just save you all the trouble and tell you that it was horrible, that you didn't miss anything, and that this version is going to be much better. That's probably not true, though, and it wouldn't be fair to the gentleman we had in here speaking with us. So again, we apologize to them, but enough of that. Let's move on to the games, and let's start with the boys' game, since that's the one we were choosing to break down this week. Obviously, you know, just your big city rivalry. There's really no other way to color it. Unlike football, we get a chance to see this twice on each school's home floor. This year, they open up at Free State. Last year, it was at Lawrence High. And Free State actually got the better of the Lions in both games last year, winning the first showdown 58-54 in the December game that came just before the holiday break. And then Free State came back and won the regular season finale 56-49 on its home floor. So let me throw it out to both of you, just some general impressions on Thursday night's game as these two prepare to square off.
Well, Scott, this is a huge game, and when we had Kyle Schreiner in here, he said that his Christmas present was to beat LHS. So, I mean, this is a huge game for many reasons, and particularly, you touched on it a lot, is that they have a two-week break after that. And so you touched on it a lot, but what you got to have the – you got to want to have that momentum heading into a two-week break. You don't really have much else before that. So if you lose this game, you know, you're going to be going to practice with everybody. You know, we lost to Free State or we lost to LHS. So really, it's going to be a big momentum game for these teams heading into that two-week break.
And, yeah, Daniel Green also told us how people have already come up to him in the hallway and said, you know, come on, beat Free State for us. Not so many words. And it's a big game. Big being the operative word that I think it's going to come down to how the bigs do against each other. A lot's been made how Lawrence High, instead of shooting so many threes, they're throwing it into the post. Guys like Riley, Chance Riley, John Novotny, John Schneider, who's back. And are they going to be able to stop a guy like Christian Ballard, who is wider than all three of them combined almost?
That's right. And that, with respect to also how Free State's going to match up against those big men from LHS, because, you know, you look at Free State, who starts three guards on a regular basis, when you look at Nick Devin and Chris Wilson and Kyle Schreiner. So one thing that Kyle mentioned is, yeah, maybe we can utilize our speed against those big men and maybe, you know, drive around them a little bit, get them out on the perimeter, you know, bring them out of the post and maybe, you know, utilize a little bit of their strengths that way. So that matchup is going to be intriguing heading up on Thursday.
One of the other things that Kyle brought up that I thought was a great point was his mentioning who's going to step up, who's going to be this guy that all of a sudden is the person that we end up talking about on Friday and saying they were the difference maker. You know, big names are supposed to show up in a big time way. Last year, the guy who showed up, ironically enough, was Kyle Schreiner. He was a junior. He wasn't a starter at the beginning of the year. He was kind of buried behind a couple other guys in the Free State rotation. Yet he came out in that first game and had a really big game and kind of took control, was able to neutralize all that Lawrence High backcourt quickness and shooting and things of that nature, and used his size a little bit to an advantage, got in the lane, hit some, you know, 12, 15-foot jumpers and things of that nature, and was able to help him pull it out. From what you guys have seen this year, who are some people that maybe fly under the radar a little bit for both teams, but could be people that once they flip the switch Thursday night could be a difference maker?
On the Free State side, I want to start out with junior guard Chris Wilson, who I don't even know if it's considered flying under the radar anymore. He's a starter. He's led the team in scoring for Free State's past three games. But at the beginning of the season, they didn't really know who's going to be their leading scorer for that matter. Took 19 shots last game to lead Free State. So he's really been the primary person who's really emerged, and nobody really thought about it. So Chris Wilson, and the other name is Anthony Russell, who comes off the bench. That's kind of a guy maybe a little bit more flying under the radar. He's got the best stroke on the Free State team with no question. He's their three-point shooter. Wonderful stroke. Can really shoot that three ball. And once he gets going, he's really if he gets going, he's kind of a streaky shooter. You know, if he gets going, he can knock down two or three in a row with no problem. So Anthony Russell may be another name to keep an eye on.
And two guys I think of for Lawrence High, you mentioned the streaky shooting of Russell. Nick Wagner certainly flew under the radar for us first game of the season when he put up 28 points,
yeah.
11 or 12 for the field. He's really a key. He does a good job of getting – that game he was really on fire from the perimeter, but he can get a lot of garbage baskets, and I mean this in a positive fashion, that he sort of knows how to move without the ball, and he's sort of always around the basket. So he can, and certainly if he can catch on fire in the perimeter – which he showed to do in that first game, that'll be a major factor. Another one is Kevin Logan, who really a good defensive player. He'll also get his share of garbage baskets. He won't maybe get as many points as the other guys, though, but as far as a lockdown defender, he's as good as Lawrence High has.
A couple of topics I want us to talk a little bit about here in regards to this game. First, and you alluded to this earlier, Eric, this is the game everybody's going to be talking about for the next two or three weeks because, simply put, nobody's going to be playing after this game for two or three weeks. So how important is it for both teams to come out and not just win this game because it's a big city rivalry? I mean, that's obviously the major aspect, and it's what we all want to talk about and write about. But how important is it for somebody to grab some momentum and to have that positive vibe to build on over the next two or three weeks? I mean, you got to think these teams are still going to be practicing. They're not going to be playing games. Right. They're not going to be practicing right every day. But they're still going to have a handful of practices between now and, you know, January 5th, January 6th, whenever they get back in action. So how important is it for that one team to be able to go to those workouts and be feeling good about themselves? Conversely, the other team, you know, maybe hanging their heads a little bit over this next 2 weeks because of the outcome.
Well, I don't want to say it's more important for Free State because that would be unfair to the Lions, but it's huge for the Firebirds just because you look at this team, unlike Lawrence, who actually won their last game, Free State's coming off a loss to Topeka High. So if you go into the break with losses to Topeka High and to Lawrence, you're looking at, you know, they really have to think about the last time they won a basketball game. So this is a huge game before the break, and not just because it's a Lawrence and Free State, but like you said, I mean, they're coming off a loss to Topeka, who, granted, was a great team. Coach Chuck Law said they were the sixth best team in the nation, according to the preseason polls.
In the state,
excuse me. Did I say nation?
If they're sixth best in the nation, let's quit talking about Lawrence and Free State and go watch Topeka.
That's right. Yeah, no, sixth best in the state. My apologies. So in that sense, it's big for Free State, no doubt.
And I think you're right, Eric, in the sense, obviously a big game, as we've said a lot, for both teams. But it is also at Free State, too. So,
right,
you know, maybe that's a little – at least Lawrence High would have another chance and get in the jungle. You'd have to – that's a great atmosphere. You'd have to like the chances there.
Now, that brings me to my second point. Last year, that first game of the season was at Lawrence High. Free State had gotten off to a rough start to the season, but they came into that game, the whole cliche, throw the record books out and all that junk – Free State came in and they hung around and they hung around and they hung around and finally got control of the game. So flipping that around this year, how important is it for Lawrence High as they go into this game at Free State to get a foothold early? Not necessarily jump out to a big lead, but at least weather the first blow and make it competitive versus having to play from behind in a hostile environment.
I think that's very important, and I really like the new scheme they have where they sort of emphasize throwing it into the post rather than shooting from the perimeter. And I wonder if they get from behind, if they would sort of revert back to what they were before, which is they're not effective. The way they're constructed now with Padilla and Riley and Novotny and Schneider, the post game is better for them, and that's if they get behind, not only from a mental standpoint, but just from how the scheme might change.
And on the flip side, Eric, I mean, what does Free State try to do to come out and land that early blow and get the fan base on their side and have that good vibe going through them? And what do they do to try to keep Lawrence High from ever actually getting into the contest?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, Scott, because really last year when Free State won both of the games, you look, I asked, spoke to Coach Law, and what he said is they really controlled the tempo of that game. That's what won the game, as you know, you were covering it. But this year, I don't know. I think that they may want to run a little bit this game. Get the crowd into it. Get off to a really quick start. Utilize those three guards that you have. Maybe beat them with a little bit of speed, get the crowd going a little bit, and get that early momentum. I think that that might actually work to its advantage, maybe unlike last year.
Okay, so we had, like I said, we had both Daniel Green and Kyle Schreiner in here. We asked them both the same question. Any guarantees? Kyle Schreiner immediately, no, not going down that road.
It's a coach's son, so we said we expected it.
A coach's son and also a guy who saw what happened with the Free State football program this year. He wasn't a football player, but he saw everything that happened with that whole Olathe East guarantee. Meanwhile, Daniel Green, you know, he was a little more verbose on it, but basically same thing. I'm not going to predict who's going to win, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be a hard-fought game and everyone's going to come out and battle. So now let me put the two of you on the spot. Let's start with you, Eric, since it's a Free State home game. Any guarantees out of you, or if not a guarantee, which way do you think it might swing?
That's a really tough question. I haven't seen Lawrence High play this year, so I can't make a guarantee right now. But I think that Daniel Green made the best point of the whole podcast, and he said rebounding is the key. If it's going to come down to one thing for Lawrence High, I think it's going to be rebounding, and he said it. When they got out-rebounded, they lost the game. When they won that rebounding war, they won the game. That's as clear-cut as it is to me. So I think that's going to be an interesting stat to keep an eye on. But as for as for guarantees, I don't think I could make one at this point.
Jeff?
And I'm going to also, as Eric Sorrentino, as Kyle Schreiner, as Daniel Green did, I'm ducking the question a little bit. That I have not seen Free State play, so it's hard for me to say. But another key, I think, will be Schneider coming back. The last game against Shawnee Mission Northwest was his first game back. I mean, he's their biggest guy, 6'5", 6'6". He's a post player. Riley is 6'5", but he'll drift on the perimeter occasionally. So this guy's only been back for one game. How he plays really is a major factor on that team.
And I think drawing on that, Jeff, is if they can utilize that post play, like you said, Free State doesn't have a lot of depth at the post position aside from Christian Ballard and aside from Weston Wiebe. They're really not that deep on the post. So really, if that indeed they can get him back and back in action down on that block, that's going to be very tough for Free State to handle.
So basically what I'm getting are two people who are afraid to take a stand. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, you know.
Now, I'll offer my two cents. First of all, I have seen both teams play, but not this year. I was on hand for both of these showdowns last year and got to see both teams play multiple times. That said, last year, the first game of the season between these two teams, I sat down at the Lawrence High scorers table next to Brad Stoll, who is Lawrence High's baseball coach. And he turned to me and said, okay, what do you think? And I said, I'm going to take the Free State girls and the Lawrence High boys. And I was 0-2. So as far as predictions go, I don't have a very good track record. However, if you're going to put me on the spot, I'll make a pick and I'll say Free State wins. And my reasoning, I think you get a game like this, it's going to go one of two ways. You're either going to have both teams just shoot lights out, and it's going to be a mano-a-mano. Anything you can do, I can do better.
It's going to be a
slugfest. And while none of us were here for it, based on both what we asked Kyle Schreiner and Daniel Green, both their favorite memories of this series, and they both pointed to the games their sophomore year, which were that way. We're talking about two great teams that had guys who are now playing Division I level basketball, and just great ball games back and forth, exciting tilts. So it can go that way, or it can be one of these things where it's still only the fifth game of the year. They're both out trying to get an identity and prove themselves. And it could be one of these ugly things where neither team is able to get much of a foothold and neither team shoots the ball well. There's turnovers because everybody's got nerves and they're frazzled. So I think it can go one of two ways. To the dismay of everybody listening out there, I think it'll be more of the latter. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a lot of unproven factors here. We've got a Lawrence High team that's still trying to prove it's got this new identity as far as pounding the ball inside. We've got a Free State team who, while a lot of the faces are familiar, there's still a lot of kids who don't necessarily have a lot of varsity experience. So it gets into one of these games where you don't know who's going to step up, what's going to happen. You mentioned rebounding, Eric, and how much that was talked about. I think the player you look at as being the game changer in this game for me is Weston Wiebe. Mm-hmm. Sure. He kind of flies a little bit under the radar because when people talk about the bigs at Free State, they automatically lock in on Christian Ballard. I mean, he's the biggest of the big. There's no getting around that. But I think Weavy's a very solid number two guy there. He showed some flashes of potential last year as a sophomore in some games down there. And I think you look for him to maybe clean up a lot of errant shots and do some of the dirty work, maybe neutralize some of the Lawrence High guys. So that's my pick, right or wrong. Like I said, I was 0-2 the first round last year, so take that for what it's worth.
Absolutely, and we've seen flashes from Wiebe this year, put up 20 points in the first game of the season, so he's got – you bring up a good point. If he can get going, that's huge for Free State because he hasn't been able to keep that 20-point performance going this year, so should be big.
So just remember, you know, when you go out and watch the game Thursday night, and Lawrence High wins by 20, and Nick Wagner scores 40 again, and I look like an idiot, just remember I'm fully aware that I'm capable of that. All righty, so let's switch gears now and look at the girls' game. Again, they'll play the first game in the doubleheader on Thursday night over at Free State. Lawrence and Free State girls actually met three times last year. The opening game, like I said, I had that prediction wrong last year. Lawrence High girls took care of business on their home court with a 47-39 victory. Free State then really got on a roll late in the year, climbed up in the Sunflower League standings, and finished on a strong note, first by beating Lawrence High 50-31 on the Firebirds' home floor to close out the regular season. Then they came right back a few nights later and beat Lawrence High again 46-29 in the first round of the Class 6A sub-state tournament. So again, much like the boys' game, let's just start with some general impressions heading into Thursday night's game.
I think that one of the things that we actually didn't mention this on the first podcast, but one of the things that I was kind of thinking about is the scoring from scoring distribution from the Firebirds. I think that when you look at it, we really learned that, much like last year, Kelsey Harrison was huge with the injury of Jenna Brantley, last game. Harrison stepping up in all facets of the game, 14 points leading the Firebirds in that regard. But you'll always have Lauren Kimball stepping up for this team. Getting to the free throw line is her strength, dribble penetration. So that was huge. She got to the line 10 times, knocked down 8 shots. And you mentioned, Scott, earlier, if you get double digits from Brantley, Kimball, and Harrison, this team is going to be hard to beat. Of course, with Brantley hurt, that wasn't said. But they're putting up double digits, and they're 4-1. So, I mean, this is a team that's very well coached by Brian Duncan, can press you on defense, and... Yeah, when they have girls scoring, like Harrison pulling up from 15 feet and just knocking it down like it's every other day in the backyard, I mean, that's pretty good. So when they're in double figures, good things happen for them, and that's what's been going on so far since they're 4-1, so it should be interesting.
And on the Lawrence side, the scoring has been coming from the Bird sisters, Daniel Bird and Taylor Bird. In fact, they combined for 35 of Lawrence High's 59 points in the last game. They're almost too dependent on those girls, and it's going to be... Taylor Bird has really impressed me. She's the primary ball handler, scored 21 points in that last game of loss, 65-59 to Shawnee Mission Northwest. What's going to be interesting is she's a sophomore. She's the ball handler and sophomore, mm-hmm. A big game. I'm sort of curious to see how such a young girl responds.
Yeah, I think as we mentioned this before when we did this in round one, guard play, nobody's going to be surprised that guard play is going to tilt it one way or the other in this game. It was much the same last year. The first game last year, Lawrence High's senior guards, Drew Huff, Sydney Wilson, really played a very solid and smart ball game and took Brantley especially and Kimball out of their game a little bit last year in that first game. And you were talking about seniors versus juniors, and the seniors knew what it took. Now, once they matched up again later in the year, this is probably going to dismay some of the Lawrence High people and me wording it this way, but talent kind of took over once we got to that point of the year. And even though those juniors were younger, they had with the exception of one game, they had a full year under their belts, and they were able to use their athletic ability then to beat Lawrence High twice in a row. I think it comes down to that again. Which guard group can play best collectively, and then which team can get the most outside of that? Somebody, you know, it's a rivalry game. Someone's going to step up that we're not expecting. Someone's going to, you know, fly under the radar a little bit and is going to end up having a decent game. And that's where it gets interesting. In Free State, I know we've talked a lot about Taylor Manning, only a sophomore, but is really the only new piece on this team. I mean, everybody else has been there. She basically steps into the role that Banaka Kwane filled last year. Lawrence High, same deal. All new faces down low, people that we don't really know about, Tania Jackson and Abby Vestal. You know, we've heard these names a little bit, but none of them's really stepped up and said, I can be a 12 or 14-point scorer and swing things our way. I mean, is that kind of how you guys see it, that it's a matter of guard play first and foremost, and then who's able to spring somebody down low?
Yeah, and it's sort of interesting because going back to the boys a little bit, there it's all about, so if you like, you know, the matchup of the bigs, that's where the most talent between the two teams are. Girls, it's the opposite. And I think you're exactly right, Scott, that is going to sort of dictate the game. And two, out of, we mentioned the big people like a Tania Jackson, an Abby Vestal, if they can step up, they could be the difference maker.
And I totally agree. You mentioned with the guard play of Lawrence High, their primary ball handle, I believe you said, is a sophomore, Jeff. Is that right?
Yes.
So that'll be fascinating in the sense that Free State likes to press a lot. It should be interesting to see how Lawrence High is able to pick that up, because Topeka High, quite frankly, could not pick that up, scored 2 points in the second quarter on Friday because Free State was pressing the heck out of them. So really, it should be interesting to see with some of the inexperience how they could pick up Brian Duncan's press from Free State, and if they're able to, you know, to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, Lawrence High obviously likes to run the ball. Scored over 90 points in the game earlier this year. And
they're very capable.
This is no slam on girls' basketball whatsoever, but you very rarely see that kind of scoring in a girls' game, regardless of what the circumstances are. So that they had the athletes that could get out there and put the ball in the bucket that many times to score 90-plus points. You obviously know what their MO is. As we've seen with Free State, they like to press and create off of turnovers and things of that nature. So it'll be really interesting early in the game to see which of those two wins out, because you got to think if Free State's able to come out and start forcing turnovers early on and build something and they're at home, then they've got to feel good about where they're at. Whereas conversely, if Lawrence High is able to find an early way to break that press and stay in the game, then it becomes a much more competitive contest.
Absolutely.
Well, again, they play this game as the last action before going to the holidays. So again, I know it's kind of redundant, but how important is it for these teams and their identity? I mean, we're talking about a Free State team that's ranked in the top 10 in the state, went to the state tournament last year. I would think, starting with them, Eric, this is a game they've got to expect to win. This has got to not just be a rivalry game, throw out the records, yada, yada, yada. They've got to be telling themselves, it doesn't matter who it is, this is a game we should win.
Absolutely, Scott. And you look at this team, they do expect to win on a regular basis. You're talking about, I think, the third or fourth best team in the state, I believe, as ranked in the preseason, so they expect to win quite a few of their games. And like you said, all the seniors coming back, they have a lot of experience at the varsity level, much more than Lawrence High does at their own gym. They're definitely expecting to win this game. And like you said, I mean, with the injury to Jenna Brantley, how would you like to go into the holiday break and say, hey, we're still 5-1? I mean, that would be huge. So really, they should expect to win this game, in my opinion, without any question.
And on the flip side, Jeff, I mean, what would it mean for Lawrence High to, you know, by all intents and purposes, pull off the upset and give themselves, I guess, you look at some of the wins they've had earlier this year. They've played a couple of Kansas City teams that we know aren't quite up to snuff with some of the other talent that they're going to face in the Sunflower League. So what kind of validation would this give Lawrence High if they're able to come in and win this game on Free State's floor?
Oh, it would be huge. I mean, right now they're 2-2, and to go, I mean, the difference between, yeah, it's
that's
being
huge.
Above the watermark or below it. And not only that, this is a pretty young team, only four seniors, and not all those four seniors contribute all that much. This is a young team, like we said, sophomore point guard. This is a team I think that's going to get better as the season goes on.
Yeah,
if they could pull off, beat a very strong Free State team on the road, you're right, that would be huge. Their confidence would be sky high and really bode well for the rest of the season.
Now, again, I know I asked this question on the boys' game, which you guys have honestly probably seen more of the boys in action with tournaments and things thus far than the girls. So it's probably not a fair question, but I'm not about being fair, so I'm going to ask it anyways. Any predictions on how things will shake out on Thursday night?
I'm going to go ahead and say that Free State wins this game. And I think it'll actually be a little bit closer than what we've talked about. I think that when you get a game like this, Lawrence High and Free State, many of these girls have known each other for a very long time. I expect this to be a very hard-fought game. I expect experience to win in the end. Like you said, if the guards really are a key in this game, you look at Lauren Kimball, you look at Kelsey Harrison, they've had varsity experience, 3 years of it. They're all seniors. I expect Free State to pull it out. In a close one, though.
I'm also being a little bit more bold, but in a way not being so bold because I'm agreeing with both of you. It's the saying that I think Free State, the girls are going to pull this out. Like Eric said, there's just a lot more experience. Come the next round at the Jungle, it might be a different story, but this is still a very young team. And I think you could deem it a definite upset if Lawrence High wins. Now, that doesn't mean it won't happen because, as we've said before, anything can happen.
Well, I tend to agree. I mean, I think it's Free State's game to lose, let's put it that way. I think, in my opinion, this game is more clear-cut than the boys' game. I think Free State has the edge in experience and the edge in talent. That's no knock on what Lawrence High's got going with Coach Kristen Mallory. You mentioned Taylor Bird, only a sophomore, and she's our Athlete of the Week in today's edition of Preps Plus, having scored 24 and 21 in last week's games. I mean, obviously a very good, gifted player.
Absolutely.
I just think Free State's got the better experience. Personally, I think if you pick up the paper on Friday and you see that Kelsey Harrison has a big game for Free State, I think Free State wins. Now, I think if Lawrence High finds a way to not let Kelsey Harrison be a dependable scorer, I think Lawrence High might spring the upset. My observations as someone who covered this team last year, and you mentioned it earlier, Eric, you used the glue guy, and I know that's kind of become a cliche in basketball, who that glue person is, and we've kind of poked a little fun at KU looking for somebody to be that person and things of that nature. I think Kelsey Harrison epitomizes that for Free State. I think Lauren Kimball is Free State's best player.
No doubt.
I think Jenna Brantley, when she's on, is their most dangerous player, because if she gets going from three-point range, then watch out. But I think the person who makes or breaks Free State is Kelsey Harrison, because of so many of the things she has to do at that small forward position. She has to play like a guard, but she also has to play
and on both
like
sides
someone
of the floor,
down low.
Too.
And on both sides. She's going to draw somebody probably her size to defend, who may even be a little bit bigger, and some of the things of that nature. So I think if Kelsey Harrison has a big game, Free State wins. I think if Kelsey Harrison struggles and we pick up the box score Friday morning and she's only got 2 or 4 points, it could be a much different story. All righty, well, that's pretty much it on the big city action of the week. Any parting shots or parting thoughts that you guys have based on either of these games or anything else that's going on?
I wanted to give a parting shot. Just, I know everything's focused on Free State, Lawrence High this week, but I got a chance to see a lot of Veritas Christian this past week, and wanted to just say, as we've been talking about, it was neat to see Katie Tigreen, excuse me, in person. Everything we thought, she had another double-double, and as I was interviewing her, she was very good about talking to me, but she kept looking back because she was nervous. The boys' game was about to start, and she was going to be singing the national anthem. So she does it all. Boards, points.
We make the joke about somebody selling popcorn. She doesn't sell the popcorn, but she sings the national anthem.
Right.
So there you go.
That's right.
Eric, anything else from you?
My parting shot is just to Kyle Schreiner, who came in here. I wanted to thank him for coming in earlier, and I kind of made a joke about it earlier, but he was in his practice uniform already. He was going to practice about 30 minutes later, so I was joking with him. I said, Kyle, would you like a little game of one-on-one? But then I totally took that back, because I haven't played competitive basketball since the 10th grade, so he would embarrass me. It would be bad. So I didn't even – I was not – definitely kidding on that, Kyle. You would beat me pretty handily, but he's a good kid, so hope
Eric, I think if you played competitive basketball as of last week, I think it's still, you know, might not be.
I think he'd still beat me if I played for my whole life, so he has a lot more talent than I ever had. So
the phrase, he'd beat you much the same way everybody beats your beloved Oakland Raiders.
That is very true. Mind, so. Absolutely. They're already on the clock, in my opinion. The Oakland Raiders have that first pick. Let's have it be Brady Quinn and get it over with.
Alrighty, well, I'm just going to give a quick shout-out to some of the area teams in action. I know we've talked a lot about Free State and Lawrence High, and they'll be playing Thursday. Most of the area teams will wrap up their pre-holiday schedules tonight. If you're looking for a game to get out and check out because you don't want to go see KU beat Winston-Salem State by 80 or whatever the final score may be, maybe head over to DeSoto, where Tonganoxie and DeSoto will be going at it in a boys-girls doubleheader. Interesting story, Tonganoxie boys, who I write my column about in today's Preps Plus, off to a 4-0 start after only winning twice all of last year. And they actually started out 0-18 last year before they won their last two regular season games. So kind of a developing story there. Tonganoxie girls ranked second in the state, so we know what they're all about. And DeSoto's girls got some talented players in the likes of Kira Gonzalez and Jackie Goldman. So if you're looking for an area battle to get out and check out and see what they're all about, try DeSoto High tonight. Alrighty, well, that pretty much wraps it up for us. Again, we apologize to Daniel Green and to Kyle Schreiner. We'll make sure we get them both back in here at some point during the season to talk about what's happening with their respective teams. Other than that, hope you all look forward to Thursday night's games. We'll come back actually on Friday and have a special edition of High School Spodcasters and break down those two city games for you. And after that, we'll take a little bit of a break so we can get our eggnog and mistletoe and all those good things with the holidays. So until then, we will talk to you on Friday.